Welcome back on board the Starship. I'm talking to Muad'Dib, the producer of the film 77 Ripple Effect, which tells the story, or in narrative, of what he believes happened on the day of the London bombings in July 2005. Now, you get extradited from Ireland, you're sent down. Mm-hmm. Tell us from that point, where were you taken in Dublin, and how long did it take you to get to the UK, and how were you treated?
Okay, well, they took, as you were there and you saw what happened, they took me, I was escorted out of the court by a guarder, a uniformed guarder, policeman, and taken across the road to the police station, where they then, you have to empty your pockets and they take all your personal belongings off you and they put them in sealed bags and all of that kind of stuff. And then they put me in a holding cell. And I was there for quite some time until eventually they have a what we'd call a paddy wagon, which is no pun intended because it's Ireland and mm-hmm. they call Irish people paddies.
Yeah, yeah.
But a police van anyway, okay. That people have probably seen pictures of on television or maybe even seen them going down the streets. They took me to Clover Hill remand prison in Dublin. Mm-hmm. And I was in there from the 11th until the morning of the 19th of November, mm-hmm. and I was awakened at about it was either 4:45 or 6:00 mm-hmm. in the morning, and they told me to get ready and that I was being extradited. And mm-hmm. I got ready. They took me to Dublin Port and drove on to a ferry. And then on the ferry, there was a plainclothes police car with three English policemen,
right.
who were from SO15, the anti-terrorist branch. They were plainclothes.
Right.
There was a sergeant and two constables. And I was handed over to them. Mm-hmm. And then I was put on the ferry.
So were you in cuffs at this
no,
point?
No, I wasn't in cuffs, no. Right. They were all right with me.
So presumably you were put in a cell on the boat.
I was put. There is a holding cell,
right?
At least one, to my knowledge, anyway, because I was put in it. I don't know if there's more than one.
Right.
But I was put in a holding cell on the ferry for the entire journey. And then when the ferry docked at Holyhead, they came in and unlocked the door and. Took me out and put me in the car, and then we drove off. At just one point, I did manage to ask the sergeant who came in to talk to me to ask me if I was okay whilst I was in the holding cell during the trip across. And I asked him if he'd watched my film, and he said, actually, I have, yeah. And he said it in such a way that he didn't disbelieve it.
Okay.
And so I said, well, what you really should be doing then is you should be arresting Tony Blair and Ian Blair instead of me. And he said, well, we know, we could talk about him. And basically, he was copping out, and that's another pun, I suppose, but he didn't want to go in that direction with conversation. So anyway, when we docked, they put me in the car, and we drove down to London. And they took me to Belgravia police station where they processed me. They took fingerprints, handprints, and all of that, both electronically and wet, what they call wet ones, which is actually with the ink, the old-fashioned way.
Yep.
Every little bit of the hands down to the wrists and the edges of the hands, the edges of the fingers, edges, everything.
Okay.
Just desperately hoping to find something that you know they could use against me, that they could find my prints somewhere, some crime that had been committed, whatever, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. but I have no criminal record, so they weren't going to find anything because I'd never done anything wrong. And then I spent the night in Belgravia in a holding cell there in the police station. And the next morning, the Saturday, the 20th, I was taken to Westminster Magistrates Court, and that's the court that originally served the warrant that they then used to go to Europe to get a European, on the strength of that warrant,
yes.
to get a European arrest warrant so they could extradite me from Ireland. And in Westminster Magistrates Court that morning, the magistrate remanded me to Wandsworth Prison, refused me bail, and remanded me to Wandsworth Prison.
So you found yourself in Wandsworth Prison, and you were in a cell initially for about 23 hours every day, am I right?
Yes.
Okay, and then that was when I went to visit you. Now, you made some friends with the staff as well in Wandsworth Prison, and apparently I've heard that some of them, some of the staff in Wandsworth Prison were watching some really crazy conspiracy TV shows, apparently.
Yeah, yours in particular.
Right,
yeah. Yeah, and they were saying how much they enjoyed your programme.
Right.
If they watch this one when it's broadcast, I'm sure they'll enjoy that.
And this was before you were in the prison. They were viewers of my show, not just because they knew you were coming in.
No, just before me. They
were already aware.
Aware, awake, and watching the programme, yes. Mm-hmm. Spent a few months in Wandsworth Prison waiting to have my trial. And whilst I was in there, I had quite a lot of people come up and want to congratulate me on making the film. They knew who I was. They came to find me, inmates, to say how much they'd enjoyed the film and to thank me for making it. And a lot of the guards as well. You know, I managed to talk to people that hadn't seen it, hadn't heard of it, and explain things. To inmates and to some of the guards. One of the guards knew about 9/11 and had actually been in New York on the day of 9/11. Mm-hmm. But she didn't know about 7/7 in London until I started explaining.
I mean, if we can just touch on that more, Dave. Yeah. I mean, put yourself in their shoes. They're a civil servant. They're part of their job is to keep people in custody, yet deep down, you know, they watch your film and possibly believe the government or those who are behind the veil, that there was no Islamic terrorists, that it's a complete con. Yeah. They believe that. Yet they're part of the system which locks people like you up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what sort of messages were you getting from the staff there, the ones that were sympathetic to your cause? I mean, because they're in kind of a, you know, there must be a bit of a dichotomy for them to be in that situation. I mean, do you think, or?
They were all nice to me. They obviously can't go out of their way to be, you know, to break rules or whatever, but they were all nice to me.
The same goes for the sergeant who you said had seen your film as well.
Yeah, they didn't put me handcuffs and things, so they were okay. And then after I'd been in there for quite some time, I got a job working in the education department in the prison, and specifically in the computer section, and the job was cleaning.
And that allowed you to get out of your cell, so you weren't locked up all day.
For a few hours in the morning and in the afternoon for a few days of the week. I was standing in the doorway to one of the classrooms, and I heard one of the lady teachers talking to another one of the lady teachers, and she said, she mentioned the word rich planet.
Right.
And I looked, and I said, oh, you know, Richard's a friend of mine. And she said, yes, she said, I know, I've seen you on his program. Anyway, afterwards she came out into the passageway where I was cleaning, and she took me on one side privately, and she said to me, I really admire what you've done in bringing the truth to people, and I wish you all the best. And it was really a nice moment for
me.
And so I'd like to, you know, thank the staff in Wandsworth Prison for the way that they treated me. They treated me nicely. I have no complaints. It wasn't their fault that I was in there. That was the government's fault. And they were just doing their job and to the best of their ability.
Okay.
And I'd like to say hello to them and thank them.
Right, good. Okay. Now, you ended up there in November, but your trial wasn't scheduled until May the 11th. So that's some
way. May
the 9th.
Yes.
Now, so you clearly wanted to get bail.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, and you applied for that several times.
Yes, I did.
And tell us what you came up against?
Well, the first time that I was scheduled to go to Southwark Crown Court for a hearing, which we were going to apply for bail, they didn't take me to the court, and my legal team turned up, and the prosecution, but I wasn't brought to the court. I wasn't presented, and the judge wanted to know where I was, and the prosecution said that I was out on bail, and of course, if I had been out on bail, then I would have been breaking my bail conditions. So the judge wanted to know where I was, if I was on bail and I hadn't turned up at court, because he would have had to serve another warrant to have me arrested, find me and have me arrested. And my defence people said that, no, Your Honour, that's not true. He's in Wandsworth Prison.
So the prison failed to take you to the court to have your bail request heard.
Yeah, and the judge said, because the hearing was in the morning, and the judge said that, you know, I could have Mr. Hill brought here in the afternoon. And so they contacted the prison to find, to arrange to have me brought that afternoon. And the prison said they couldn't find me. They'd managed to lose me in the prison.
Okay. And you're in a cell for 23 hours a day.
Yeah. With my name on the door and number and all of that, and all on their records, and they couldn't find me. But they couldn't find me to take me to court when they were supposed to take me to court.
Yeah.
But at 8 o'clock the very next morning, at first thing in the morning, the cell door opened, and they came in. They knew who I was. And they could find me to take me for what they said was a random drugs test. So they can't find me, I'm lost, I'm not in their prison, they can't find me to take me to court to apply for bail, but yet they can find me the first thing the next morning to take me for a random drugs test.
Now this happened more than once though, didn't it?
Yes, it happened a number of times.
Must just paint the picture here. By this time, the 7-7 inquest, although it's not an inquest into who was guilty, we must point that out. It was an inquest into whether the government could have prevented it. So the smokescreen inquest was going on. And you believe that the reason why they kept failing to present you to the court was because they wanted you inside while the inquest was on.
Yes.
Whilst they were holding the inquest here, I was in Wandsworth Prison, and each time I was supposed to go to court to be granted bail, they didn't take me to court when they should have done. This happened on a number of occasions.
Absolutely.
And you were actually given bail 3 days after the inquest finished.
That's correct.
Tell us why you think they needed you kept in there while the inquest was on.
They were afraid that if I was out on bail in London, that I would be able to go to the inquest and then be able to speak to the relatives, the family members and friends who were attending the inquest, of the people who were murdered that day, and people who were injured and maimed, and generally the public. And they couldn't risk, from their point of view, they couldn't risk the truth getting into the court. And so they didn't take me to Southwark Crown Court to get bail on a number of occasions until the judge at Southwark Crown Court, who was a nice man, he demanded that they bring me there the very next morning. He got annoyed with them. And so they brought me the next morning and he gave me bail. But that was 3 days after the inquest had finished. They absolutely didn't want me to be able to talk to any of the family members. The family members who, there are a few of them, I understand, that are not happy with the inquest at all, and they want a public inquiry, which is what I've been fighting for from the beginning with making the film.
Now, when you were given bail, you were given bail conditions again, which were different to your original ones. You had to find accommodation in London.
I had to find accommodation somewhere in England. Or England or Wales, it could have been, because that's the dual jurisdiction. in order to be able to be granted bail. They have bail hostels. I applied for a place in a bail hostel and was told that the bail hostels were all full with waiting lists, and so it was unlikely that I was going to be able to go to a bail hostel. And the bail officer in Wandsworth Prison said that the bail hostel would be my best bet because they're actually run by the government. So they're less likely to refuse me bail because I'm going to a government-run bail hostel. Yeah. But there wasn't any available. And so one of my supporters said that he would, you know, I could go and live with him and stay at his place. And so that's what happened. I put in, and you also very kindly offered me to stay at your place. Mm-hmm. I did get bail, and I went to stay with a friend near Coventry,
okay,
a supporter of mine.
So in total, at that time, you had spent 158 days in...
Seven, yeah.
157 days inside.
Yeah.
You've not been given a trial or anything. Now, I know that you're a very determined person, and you're determined that the truth should prevail.
Yes, absolutely.
And how did you feel when you came out of prison, having spent all of that time in there, not having really had any justice yet? You know, did you feel happy? Did you feel elated? Did you feel relieved? Or what was your frame of mind when you came out of Wandsworth?
About the same as it is now, really, and the way that it's been all the way through. When I mailed. From Ireland, when I mailed the DVDs, when I went and put them in the mailbox, at that point, in fact, before I actually went to the mailbox, but I knew at that point that how evil these people are, and you know, they murdered 56 innocent people on 7/7, they injured and maimed, 800 more. So I knew how evil these people were, and that there was at least a 50-50 chance that they would come after me.
Right,
and of course that's what they did. But
so you were actually prepared to go to prison for this course.
Yeah, I had to do what I did. There was no other option really, because I wanted through the court system. I thought there was a chance that if the judge was honest and the people in the court were honest, they would accept the film. They would bring it into evidence. That the judge would apologise to the jury and the prosecutor would. Mm-hmm. And let them watch the film, and that through that it would then get into official channels, because it would become part of the court records, mm-hmm. And that hopefully through the legal system then that would help us to get a public inquiry, because it was officially in the system. Mm-hmm.
So you had what, about 2 months to prepare for your case when you were out on bail, and you had. Mm. You were under some bail conditions. You were curfew.
I had to sign at the local police station on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday between the hours of 12 noon and 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and I had a curfew which started at 10 p.m. Until 6 a.m. the following morning, where I had to be in the house with what they call doorstep conditions, that right. The police can come after 10 o'clock. Without warning, just show up and ask to see me,
yes.
To make sure I'm there. And it's called a doorstep because they don't have to come in, you have to go to the door and let them see that you're there.
Right.
You know.
Okay, Mahdi, well, we're going to go for another short break now, and after the break we're going to talk about the trial itself, which took place at Southwark Crown Court. If you are interested in the UFO subject, which everybody should be, then the place to go is the Leeds 2011 Exopolitics Conference. Now that takes place at Leeds University on the 5th, 6th and 7th of August, where myself and many others will be speaking, some of whom have been on this show. RichPlanet.net is sponsoring the conference, so why not make a weekend of it and get yourself along.